Welcome to the Pre-Zero Sport Talk podcast show, your home for open, straightforward, and thrilling conversations on the latest happenings in the world of sports. Leading the charge for carbon neutral sports, we bring you the most exciting and engaging discussions on the airwaves. Picture this. It's the year 2050, and the world is a vastly different place. Climate change has forced us to rethink everything we do, including how we dress. Gone are the days of a fast fashion and disposable clothing. In their place, a new era of sustainable fashion has emerged, a world where your workout clothes look and feel fabulous and contribute to a more sustainable planet. That's the world that Reflow is creating with their line of future-proof apparel made entirely from recycled plastic waste. Their technical fabrics are well-tested and designed for style, making them perfect for movement, leisure, and everyday life. And as USA Today Sports describe Reflow, and I quote, "The brand's clothing doesn't have the feel of an empty plastic water bottle, but is instead buttery soft and breathable." But what sets Reflow apart is its commitment to sustainability. They lead the way in eco-friendly fashion with 70% fewer carbon emissions than traditional clothing production. Commitment to plant one tree for every product sold, and a single-use plastic-free supply chain. Hi everyone, I'm your host Sid Bensal, and this is the Pre-Zero Sport Talk, the show that explores the intersection of sports, events, and sustainability. And today's program is all about sustainable activewear. How does your sportswear impact the environment? We'll be hearing from one of the driving forces behind this revolution. He's a man on a mission, a co-founder of Reflow, and a true champion for sustainability in the fashion industry. Rory McFadyen is an award-winning sustainable apparel brand with the goal of becoming the most sustainable clothing brand globally.
I'd like to think as the biggest innovator in the world of sport, and this North Star metric of the most sustainable apparel brand in the world, I think is somewhere that I wouldn't say if I didn't believe we can achieve it. So my hope is that in 10 years' time, we are the most sustainable apparel brand in the world.
Despite 18 months old, Reflow has collaborated with major brands and events in the sports and entertainment world, providing turnkey sustainable apparel solutions for events such as WM Phoenix Open, Australians Open, Neon Beach Games, Icon Series, and the Women's Scottish Open. Before launching Reflow, Rory worked in the sports and entertainment industry for 15 years across marketing, events, and sponsorship, delivering campaigns and events for some of the world's largest brands. Through his experience and passion, Rory has become an expert in driving sustainability across the sports and entertainment industry and creating clear and comprehensive narratives to tell sustainable stories. Our discussion with Rory will revolve around the story of Reflow sustainability activewear, from waste to wear, their challenges, and their impact on the planet. Rory, having you here with us today is an absolute pleasure. The recommendation to have you on our show came from Neil Hams Adam himself. Until today, Reflow was not a brand on my radar. However, while researching, I was blown away by your company's commitment to sustainability and the innovative ways you are positively impacting the environment. So thank you for your time and for sharing your insights with our audience.
No worries, Sid. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to talking more about the world of sustainable apparel and how we develop Reflow.
What inspired you to start Reflow and how did you get started?
Yeah, so it actually touches on something you've just discussed there of working in the sports and entertainment industry for 15 odd years. And within the sports and entertainment industry, apparel is something that features in partnerships, in events, in marketing quite regularly. And I was very aware throughout my career that there was a huge amount of waste in that industry. And I saw lots of apparel deals, lots of partnerships where the huge amounts of apparel was created and produced. And it was a very unsustainable process, to be honest. And the more I looked into it, especially with sport, which is quite seasonal. If you look at a football team, maybe their season is 8 months long and then they have new sponsors and things move on like that. And the more I dug into it and researched into this issue that I was seeing, the more I uncovered. So something that goes massively underreported is the apparel industry is the third most polluting industry in the world. It doesn't quite get the attention that maybe others do. I was thinking there must be a better way to do this. And the majority of sportswear is made from virgin polyester, which is made from oil. So very intensive on the world, involves digging up oil and using huge amounts of energy and heat to turn that into a polymer, to then turn it into a fabric. And I was thinking there must be a better solution to this. At a similar time, a good friend of mine was introduced to a company that could turn waste plastic into high performance fabrics. And something was born in that moment, that idea, that conversation, that there's actually a better way of doing things where we can turn waste products into high performance fabrics that could then be put into apparel. And the more my friend and I looked into this, we dug into this, we started thinking, actually, that's great. That is solving a solution, but there are far bigger problems within the apparel industry, which also need looking at. We decided that we wanted to go on a mission to create the most sustainable apparel brand in the world and do everything that we can in every element of production, from product sourcing, how we manufacture, how we distribute, how we ship the product, to always think of two P's, which is people and planet, and then hopefully profit will follow. So we spent around 3.5 years developing the idea of Reflow, and we do all sorts of things that I won't go into everyone on this podcast because we could be here for a very long time. But for example, there's no single-use plastics anywhere in our supply chain. All of our packaging is biodegradable. Something that absolutely drives me crazy is, especially when you buy something online and it comes in a plastic poly bag, they're called, and you end up, let's multiply that by 1,000, the shop buys wholesale 1,000 t-shirts that they want to sell over a period of time. That comes in 1,000 individual poly bags. So even when you get some brands who claim to be sustainable and use recycled fabrics, then it gets delivered in a plastic bag. It makes no sense to me. So all of our packaging is biodegradable. There, we carbon offset our entire workforce, ensure fair working conditions for the people making our products and fair wages. They're just a few of the things we do. There's a multitude of things. But yeah, the inspiration came from real world experiences working in industry, and the solution came from trying to think of things differently than maybe the incumbent brands do.
Can you tell us more about Reflow production process and how does it differ from traditional activewear brands?
Sure. So we use recycled polyester as our primary fabric. So recycled polyester takes, for us, it's household consumer waste. So when someone throws something in the recycling bin, that goes off to a recycling plant, is clean, shredded. Then it goes to a next stage, which is heating. So you heat that, use far less energy and heat than you would do traditional polyester, that's for sure. You heat that and then you can extract that into yarns. And those yarns can be woven into high performance fabrics. And that actually was one of the things that took a really long amount of time, was making sure the fabrics performed well and were right. There's maybe a little bit of thinking in people's heads when they think of recycled fabrics that they're maybe sweaty or they don't breathe as well and they're not as stretchy. So we spent a long time developing fabrics to make sure they're as good as the incumbents. Your product has to be as good as everyone else's. The non-sustainable brands, sustainability is really important, but product isn't great, then people aren't going to buy it. That's generally the process. Sometimes we add recycled coffee into the process, where we take waste coffee grounds from coffee shops, extract a chemical and embed that in the yarn during the heating process, which is a natural antibacterial to stop smell sticking to clothing. So yeah, that's our current main way of producing clothing. Whereas most traditional apparel brands use virgin polyester, which, as I mentioned at the beginning, is taken by taking oil and going through the polymer extraction or polymer development, which involves huge amounts of energy to get to that point where it's plastic and then you extract it. And then it's a very similar process from there to what we do. Yeah, that's the main difference.
Good. Where the production takes place?
So our production takes place in China. We try and be as vertical as possible. So our fabrics are made in China, our production's in China, and our waste comes from China as well. There are rightly a lot of criticisms about certain processes and factories within China, and we're not afraid to address them head on. In fact, if you go on our website, we're very transparent with that. We name our production partners, why we work with certain factories. So for us, we built a code of conduct that factories must adhere to. We independently audit them to make sure that, as I mentioned earlier, there are good working conditions, fair wages and such. And we only work with factories that adhere to those things. And maybe some of the bigger brands in the world, the factories they work with aren't the right type of factories for us, where they're focused on tiniest slither of margin. We always say, if you're paying absolute rock bottom for a product, the chances are someone in the ecosystem isn't being paid fairly in that. And the person most likely not being paid fairly is the person producing your garment. So that's super important to us. As I mentioned, we independently audit all of the factories we work with to ensure that they are doing what we expect of them. And we do that every year.
And do you believe that you have a unique value proposition? And what sets Reflow apart from other sustainable activewear brands in the market?
I think for us, sustainability is core in everything that we do. our mission statement is to be the most sustainable apparel brand in the world. And so for us, that flows through every decision we make, be it around product, be it around people, be it around how we distribute our product, where we distribute our product, how we sell the product. Every single thing is driven by that. And I think more and more in the industry, you're seeing a lot of greenwashing take place, where people are using sustainability as a marketing tool, where as for us, it 100% isn't just a marketing tool. We're genuinely on a mission to try and change an industry. And we have a 5-year sustainable roadmap, which will see us continue to be at the forefront of sustainable innovation. And I think that's really important. We're not sitting on our laurels with using recycled polyester and doing all the other great stuff we do. We're constantly looking to improve. And our hope is that over a period of time, we'll be seen as the brand at the forefront of sustainable innovation.
And is Reflow more expensive than traditional activewear?
I would say it's probably at the higher end of mainstream brands. So we're not super luxury. We're not, even if you look actually now at the likes of Lululemon or Castore, they're both brands that are more expensive than us. But if you were to compare us to a Nike or an Adidas, we're probably at the top end of their kind of luxury ranges. So an Adidas Stella McCartney range, for example, we're at that price positioning. So we don't want to price ourselves out of a market. We don't want to try, as I mentioned earlier, that if you get into a scenario where you're trying to compete to be the cheapest out there, it's a race to the bottom and you end up, we can't produce fabrics and products in the way that we want to produce them and go into a price war to be the cheapest out there. We're reassuringly expensive. We always say Reflow is not cheap, because if it was cheap, the products would be cheap. And they're not. They're made to last. They're made from recycled fabrics. We plant a tree for every product sold. We only work in factories that pay people fairly. Those things mean that we rightly have a slightly higher price positioning than maybe some of the incumbents.
Good. For every product sold, you pledge to plant a tree. Is this pledge 100% commitment from Reflow, or is just a promise?
100% commitment. It's built into our financial modeling. We've financially modeled where we plan to be over the next 7 years, and it never disappears. It's always built into that model. It's super important to us. So when we talk about creating the most sustainable apparel brand in the world, it's impossible to create a fully sustainable apparel brand. That's almost an oxymoron. The only real way of sustainably dressing yourself is to not dress yourself, is to be naked. There's always an impact of creating clothing. For us, we wanted to create positive impacts through what we do as well. We call that active regeneration. So it's built into what we do. We plant trees in Mozambique and Madagascar. There's a lot of research into how and where we plant trees. We work with the Eden Reforestation Program, and we actually plant mangroves because they oxygenate the air, they oxygenate water as well, which is super important. They help stop coastal erosion. And the tree planting that we fund actually gives employment opportunities for people who would normally work in industries such as agriculture in those parts of the world, which actively deforest. People strip land to create farmland, to graze cattle or whatever else on. It's an absolute commitment, and it's something that we're very passionate about. In fact, we want to plant 1 million trees over the next 5 years. We've got a lot of tree planting to do.
Excellent. And for our listeners, Rory, can you explain what active regeneration means?
Yeah, so that's part of it. It's partly creating positive impact through everything we do. And that stretches far and wide with the business into not just tree planting, but giving back. Our aim is to be a B corporation, which will mean profits are reinvested into good causes. And all of the things I mentioned before become part of kind of the core of the business. But also we do other great things, like we offer all of our staff a day off a month for community volunteering, so they're able to give back. And that's a form of regeneration as well. So as a business, as a company, we want to have a positive impact as well as the negative impact that our production has. So that's what we mean by active regeneration.
You mentioned earlier about greenwashing, and I've read that Reflow, there is a lot of greenwashing, but positive, good kind of greenwashing. Can you explain?
Yeah, absolutely. We say the only greenwashing we do is in the washroom. For us, we want to ensure that clothes are handled in the right way that doesn't create negative impacts. Microplastics, for example, are rightly talked about as an issue of synthetic clothing. They've actually sold out. And we're looking to reorder them, and we are reordering them. We offer microplastic wash filters at cost price on the website for people to purchase. So that basically is a filter bag you wash your clothes in, and it stops those little bits of plastic, microplastics, entering waterways and the oceans. And ultimately, we actively encourage people to wash their clothes in a certain way. And that's, we playfully say that's our greenwashing, because actual greenwashing we see in the industry is rife and is actually something we don't like very much.
Imagine a world where all active wears are sustainable. How do you think this would impact the environment?
I think it's important that we've got to be realistic that there'll always be an impact of creating clothing. No matter what the clothing is, there is always an impact. There's very little that we can do in this world which doesn't have an impact. But I think it's really important to people to be aware of the impact that they're having and be able to understand the impact they're having. We're working on projects where we're able to calculate carbon impact, for example, of a t-shirt on its own or a pair of joggers or whatever, and be able to understand that impact that has and always offset that impact in carbon offsetting or other ways. But I think that there will always be an impact. And our hope is that other brands follow what we're doing and try and create products which have less impact. But I think it's all about this world of consumerism where buy, buy, buy. It's mad for a brand to be saying this, but we need people to understand that they need to buy less and wear more, because no matter what they're doing, that impact exists. We work in the world of what we call multifunctional apparel. We encourage someone to buy a piece of clothing and use it for multiple things and create clothing that allows them to do that. So this fallacy that you need a different t-shirt to go for a run in, go to the gym in, play football in, there are slight differences. But if you look at the Nike tee, for example, is the same t-shirt made in Turkey with just a different logo on the front. And that is what kind of needs to change. So I think brands absolutely 100% need to do their part and drive change. In fact, if they don't, then, you know, it will be a disaster. And we're starting to see a bit of it. But as I say, most of it's greenwashing. But then also there's a part of the individual to really understand the impact of their choices. But we want to give people sustainable options that are simple for them. So it's not like a difficult choice. It's not like we're saying you're going to have to give something up. We're not. We're just saying we're going to create the products for you that actually have a more positive impact so you can wear those. It's a tricky juxtaposition, and it's interesting for a brand to be at the forefront saying buy less, but it generally is what needs to happen.
And what are the upsides and downsides of shifting to 100% eco active wear?
The upsides kind of speak for themselves. When we're looking at recycled polyester, it's taking a waste product that it would normally end up in landfill or the ocean, or in some cases incinerated, that we've seen, and turns it into something that's usable again. And we think that's super important. The downsides, and there are many downsides in terms of, I say many, there's more upsides than downsides when comparing to traditional polyester, for example. But there are still things like microplastics, end of life stories. As soon as you put two fabrics together, currently it's very different. So if you combine a cotton and a polyester together, currently that makes it very difficult to recycle that. But now we're working in the world of monofiber, and actually our next range will see a couple of our products being completely single fiber. So when I say single fiber, there's no elastane in there, there's no cotton in there. It's 100% recycled polyester, which makes it also recyclable as well as recycled. There's this kind of end of life story that synthetic materials, and in general, synthetic materials are the best sportswear because they do stretch a lot. They're moisture wick. They're the best. That's why most performance wear is made from synthetic. But you're creating options to recycle them at end of life rather than them ending up in landfill as well. Yeah, I'd say that's one of the downsides, but something we're actively addressing and trying to make a change on as well.
Although the company is almost 18 months old, there seems to be more focus on men than women in the production line. Can you explain why that is?
Absolutely. So in transparency, we actually designed a women's wear range very early on, almost alongside our initial menswear collection. And we weren't sure if it was fantastic. At the time, we were a brand new business that was just myself and my business partner. We had two guys. We're both actively involved in what we do. So we make active wear, leisure wear, golf wear, and everything in between. And we both play golf. We both go fairly active. We know what makes a great product because we wear the product. And then for women's wear, we were sampling and we were unsure if it was as good as it should be. And the last thing you want to do as a sustainable brand is overproduce. So we didn't want to create a women's wear range which wasn't as good as it should be and didn't sell. And when you're a very small business and there are essentially two of you, you've got to focus. And we focused on what we knew to be right or good rather than right and developed that. And women's wear is actively being developed at the moment. And we're thankful as we've grown, we've brought on a wonderful team. We have our lead designer is Pollyanna, who is a female activewear designer. We have both of our product developers are both female, and they're able to tell us they wear the apparel, and they're experts in how you develop and create women's wear. So we now have some brilliant people alongside us to say, you know, this is the right direction. Maybe this isn't quite right. And I think it was the right decision to focus. So you will see a Reflow women's wear range come in the next couple of seasons, but it was a decision purely to focus on what we were able to have some control over and what we knew better, with the thinking of sustainability again, that overproduction is a bad thing. So let's produce a smaller amount and let's get it right and build on that.
And are there any plans to release products for children and juniors in the near future?
I wouldn't say the near future. It's something that we've discussed briefly internally, but it's not on any immediate roadmap over the next 3 years or so. But it might be something that we do, and we've actually produced. We've got some great friends in the business who have young kids who love Reflow and follow the Instagram account and love seeing what we're doing. And we made a little run of stuff for some family friends and their kids. Mm. But that was more just because they were so excited about what we were doing, and they love sustainability. I think that generation, 10 to 15, where they're at that age where sustainability is something that's embedded within, they're taught about, and we did for them. But it's not in the immediate product pipeline for kind of mainstream product or mainline products, rather.
And from a design point of view, Rory, is the process difficult?
I think you're seeing right now a massive trend of trend-based product. And when you look at brands which are flying at the moment or have been for a long while, but some of the newer ones like Gymshark or Pretty Little Thing or Boohoo, they're fast fashion brands. So they're designing based on really quick turnover, and there's a trend happening now for 3 months, and we'll design something which maybe in 3 months someone won't wear, and it probably doesn't matter because that piece of clothing is going to break anyway. It's not designed to last. And so for us, it's really important not to be too trend focused and create pieces which in the design process are what we call seasonless. So they're not just designed to look cool spring summer 24. They're designed to have a timeless element to them that people want to continue wearing them, which goes back to this idea of buying less and owning less and wearing more. So that's very much built into our design process. And we're actually looking into something called biomimicry at the moment, which is mimicking nature in design. And actually nature has some extraordinary solutions, like beautiful seam lines and things like that, which nature isn't fashion or trend driven. It doesn't go out of fashion. So yeah, that's a process we're looking into. But as I mentioned, we've got a great designer called Pollyanna who is leading all of those things. And in reality, part of what I've got to do is maybe stay out a little bit of giving intricate design detail, because then we just design what I like. And I think probably as my friends to attest to, I'm not a fashionista by any level, but yeah, I think it's important to let people do what they are incredible at. And Pollyanna is an incredible designer, and let her have the ability to create ranges and lines which fit together. I would say it's because it's so subjective, it's very tricky, but you've got to trust the people around you who are experts at these things, of which we've got, thankfully.
And who has the last say?
Final sign off is probably me, and it's something is really hard to do, right? I've had to learn to do it. And maybe in our first ranges, I was too involved. But more recently, when we've been doing product review, the first question I ask is, what do you think to our product team? What's your, because their thinking is, whilst I'm a target market myself, if I see something which I think is completely wrong and not right, I might put my hand up. But actually giving them the freedom and not putting too much of my own spin on things, I think is super important. And actually, that's a philosophy we carry across the whole business, not just product design.
And your customers, what they think about the product itself?
The reaction has been incredible, to be honest. Our aim is to be a brand that people are proud to wear. And if people are proud to wear a brand, they'll talk about wearing it to others. And you create this word of mouth community, which is what we're starting to see happen. It's fantastic. And I think there are some hard metrics that we can look at. So if we look at the website and look at reorder rates, I think the e-com average is around 10%. So a reorder rate is when someone buys one time, they come back within a certain period of time and purchase again. We have our reorder rate is over 30%, which is fantastic. So the e-com average is 10%. So people generally tend to buy a few bits, see how they go, see if they like them, and come back and buy more, which is a great sign. I've had, honestly, a fantastic response. And we're now at the stage, which is completely humbling, where you see people wearing the brand out and about. And maybe in our first few months, we saw our friends and family wear it a lot. And it was like, that's cool. But then seeing complete strangers, I actually had a meeting today and a guy walked past me wearing a Reflow cap. no idea who he was. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And I was like, in a meeting, so I couldn't say anything. But normally I'm the weird guy who goes up to them and goes, oh, I love your cap. Where did you get it from? What do you think of it? And almost use it as an opportunity to talk about the brand without them knowing that I'm actively involved in it. Yeah, we've had a great response. And we hope as we evolve and bring out new products and improve products, I think, and work on innovation, that can only keep on improving and we keep on surprising and delighting. So that's the aim. But it's amazing to see.
Yeah. And how do you ensure the quality and durability of your product?
Testing is super important. So you have a lab testing, if you like, where you can test multiple things in that scenario, from making sure the fabric doesn't pill to color fastness to, and everything in between. So we work with third-party testing houses. We have a reflow testing manual, which we give to them and say, we want you to test for this and this. And they take away the fabrics and the products and they wash them. They come back to us with reports, you know, how commercial things are. Our aim is to create products we want to last. When we're choosing which fibers and yarns put things together, we generally go with a more premium option because we want things to last as long as possible. But nothing can beat good old wear testing and getting people to wear samples in the products and give feedback. And again, we have feedback forms. Currently, we've got three members of the team testing some autumn winter gear. One is testing some of the gym wear. Someone's testing something which is a bit more golfy. And then someone else is testing fabric durability and wash at home wash tests. So there's the kind of lab side of things, the very scientific way, but the old school way is still something that we do and is super important and actually shows up some stuff that lab testing doesn't.
Are there any misconceptions about the sustainable active wear?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that we've learned quite a lot through retail as well, recently working with some key retailers and understanding people's reaction in store to products. So there generally is a misconception, and I actually wouldn't necessarily say it's a misconception. I'd say it has been true in the past that recycled polyester doesn't perform as well as virgin polyester, that it's that doesn't wick moisture as well. So it's sweaty. It's not as soft to touch. It's a bit brittle and it's not very stretchy and not as comfortable. And people have those thoughts, and sometimes they're true. And it's something we worked really hard to ensure wasn't the case with our product. So there's definitely an education piece. We love working with retailers and big events, and anytime we can get to get product in people's hands where they can touch, feel, see, and realize that isn't the case is a win for us.
And if your mission was to create sustainable active wear for a particular sport, which sport would you choose and why?
I think we're trying to move into a world where we're relatively sport agnostic and not be too hyper-focused on sports. Currently, people would maybe look at us and see golf as what we call our sharp point, which is we're strong on golf wear and we're strong in the golf industry. And a lot of my background in sports and entertainment is around golf, which has helped. But for us, multifunctional apparel is the future, where we're trying to define less what people should wear to do things in, and people can wear whatever they feel comfortable to do things in. And for me, that means a golf polo shirt isn't a golf polo shirt. It's a polo shirt, and you can play tennis in it. You can play golf in it. And I think that there are some instances where that is impossible. Cycling is a great example, where you need specific performance, especially if you're getting on a road bike. You don't want to be wearing any old thing. Occasionally I go for a cycle, and probably not as often as I should do, but you definitely need clothing designed specifically for that. Otherwise, I think you'd be walking even more funny for a very long time afterwards. It's not, again, cycling's not on our immediate roadmap, something that we've discussed, but this idea of being multifunctional performance wear means that sport necessarily doesn't need to be, we don't need to dig down into certain verticals. And then having said that, we're also, team wear is a big part for us. And if we were to work with a football club, for example, they would expect their strip be a certain way, but the fabrics that we use to create that strip are things which can work in other ranges as well. So we're not just producing a certain type of fabric to do one thing in particular with. Yeah, it's a long-winded answer, but I think that kind of aligns more with our vision.
And do you explore new technologies and innovations to improve your product beside of using plastic waste?
100%. I think that's key for us. We're building out a five-year roadmap across the entire business around sustainability and what that means. Sustainability is ever evolving as well. There are technologies under development now that will be released over the coming years that we don't even know about. And there are some things that we're actively involved in talking about. Using enzymes to break down plastics as an end-of-life story is super cool. And I think something that will progress quite a lot. And yeah, I think We're taking it to the nth degree at the moment. We're having conversations with the university in the UK about working on a few innovation projects. I can't say too much more because they will be their RIP and things that we want to own and develop. I think sustainable innovation is hugely important. And while you see us using recycled polyester as our core now, I think if you came back and we have this conversation in 5 years' time, it could look very differently, and it would look very differently because there are things we're already looking at. Some are bio-based, some are recyclable, some are the things that we're looking at with this university, which are under wraps, but some are very different, completely out there ideas that are ideas, literally ideas at the moment that we're wondering how we can do it and if we can do it. So yeah, we'll constantly be evolving, and we're imperfect, right? And we're very clear on that. We're not the finished article. We aren't perfect. We can always improve and always get better. And that's our mindset.
And where do you see Reflow in 10 years from now?
I'd like to think as the biggest innovator in the world of sport. And this North Star metric of the most sustainable apparel brand in the world, I think is somewhere that I wouldn't say if I didn't believe we can achieve it. So my hope is that in 10 years' time, we are the most sustainable apparel brand in the world, and we'll constantly be evolving. And because of the fast rate of technology is changing, I couldn't say exactly what it'll be, but I can assure you it probably won't be what it is now.
And do you see the consumers driving the growth of sustainable activewear to achieve your vision?
Absolutely. I think in transparency, I think people aren't making decisions right now purely on sustainability. It's not the only decision-making metric that people use when buying clothes. But I think if they're given the option between two products and one has a genuine sustainable story and the other doesn't, I think they'll go for the sustainable option. So there definitely is a rise in demand for that. And I think that's only going to increase with the generation, maybe below my generation. I'm mid-early 30s. This Gen Z generation, I think, is looking at things very differently and will change industries quicker than we can expect. I think it is slowly moving. I think the important thing is not just being a sustainable brand, being a brand that make good clothing that people want to wear regardless. And the sustainability factor is almost what converts them finally. Yeah, that's my thinking.
Yeah, that's interesting. And going forward, how can you balance trend, fashion, quality, and durability with the consumers?
I think it's not being too trend focused. I think don't get me wrong, we put things out there which are fashion driven and we think people want to wear because they're fashionable. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. I'm saying we just have to be really careful not to be hyper trend focused, which a lot of these fashion brands are. And something that's in for 6 weeks and then out, Shein produce thousands of SKUs every week and it's all high turnaround and not worry about quality. So for us, the focus will always be on quality and longevity, and the way we design and what we build into that will always be part of it. And we're not going to produce new lines every month. You're not going to see, we'll probably drop two ranges of product a year max. And then we might do the occasional capsule drop, where we're looking at introducing new technology or new ideas, which isn't ready to be in a full range yet, but it works really well. And I think one we're looking at the moment is using carbon capture to create ink. So trapping carbon into inks and using that as a printing technique. That isn't something that can work across our entire range, but we're looking to create a little capsule around that, which tells that great story and creates something great. And it's a test case, and we can always roll it out in a bigger scale if it works in a smaller scale. So I think it's not being too focused on constantly churning out new product. It's about doing less better.
And what can the fashion industry do to promote sustainability and ethical practices?
I think this has to start with the major players. I think more people need to call out greenwashing when they say it. And the big brands need to stop thinking sustainability is a marketing tool. And not all of them do, but the vast majority do. And do the bare minimum and talk about it as much as possible. That has to stop. There needs to be a genuine reaction to change the way things are done. But actually, it's not as easy for some of these big guys as wanting to change. The actual change they need to do, we built it from the ground up in certain ways. For those guys, they're steering an oil tanker, in some cases quite literally. And to move its course is very difficult. To unravel their entire way of production will be very hard. And for us, we're more of a speedboat who are quite nimble. And I think the other thing that we'd like to see a bit more of is we're a small, independent, sustainable brand, and opportunity is quite hard. So we're running a thriving direct-to-consumer platform. We've got some incredible partnerships with events and sports organizations around the world. We've got some incredible relationships with athletes, which are, and a few more to be announced this year, which are huge, like game changers for us. But the guys who hold the purse strings of buying and retailing, to get that door open is very difficult and something that in transparency we struggle with. And to truly scale, we need to be available to buy in more places. And to be available to buy in more places, we need those big retailers to want to work with genuinely sustainable brands and have an impact themselves. And I'm not saying that's not quite there yet, but it's definitely a challenge. And we knock on a lot of doors and sometimes get rebuffed. And for us, that's, we've got to prove ourselves, right? We've got to go away then. And then next time we knock on their door, show them something new and show them why they need to have that conversation with us.
Good. What is Reflow's carbon footprint?
That's a super tricky question to answer. And something actually that we are developing in our 5-year roadmap, we want to be able to identify the carbon footprint of an individual product, not just the entire business. And if you imagine how difficult that is, because you're looking at like source of waste plastic and the recycling process and then moving that on and understanding that entire, the carbon impact of every level of that process is super difficult, but it's something that we're doing. We want to create product passports, we call them, where every product will have a QR code on and you can see where that product's been and therefore understand its carbon impact. And then we will offset that. So that's where we want to aim at. Currently, what we do is we offset our workforce because that's a lot easier for us to measure. The average person produces 10 tons of carbon a year in their day-to-day life, be it going to and from the office, going on holiday, going heating their house, all of those things. And we offset 14 tons of carbon per person within our workforce, which is around 26 people currently we offset per month. So it's oversimplistic as a way of doing it. And is something that we want to drill further down into. But as we're 18 months old, and I actually don't think that's an excuse for not doing anything, which is why we're doing what we do. But it's something that we definitely want to improve on and have more visibility over.
What advice would you give entrepreneurs looking to enter the sustainable activewear industry?
We approached it having never worked in the industry before, which when we tell people who work in the industry, they think we're bonkers. And now I can see why. It's a very tight-knit industry, and there are certain ways of doing things, and those ways of doing things are often how they've been done for decades. And people will always try and steer you into the path of least resistance, which is the easiest way, because natural human reaction to something is going, this is how I know to do it, let's do it like this. So as we've gone through this process, there's often been times where people go, why don't you just use normal polyester? Your packaging can be, just use poly bags, because that's the easiest way of doing things. So My piece of advice would be stand true to what you're doing. So build out, understand what you want to do to start with. So we built out this manifesto, and that's changing and is moving as we brought on incredible people into the team with different inputs. So that's constantly evolving, but it gives us a baseline to know how we do things and what our rules are as a business for production and the way we deal with things, and stick to those guns and don't accept no for an answer, or don't take the path of least resistance. Because if you take the path of least resistance, you'll end up where everyone ends up and you'll be the same as everyone. So for us, it was maybe making harder decisions or doing things in ways that aren't done normally to get results that we wanted. So that would be my kind of main piece of advice. And something I always say is don't be afraid to make mistakes as well. If we say it internally all the time, that if you aren't making mistakes, you aren't trying enough things, you aren't learning. And if you make the same mistake 6 times in a row, there's probably a bit of a problem there. You're doing something which isn't too smart, but don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you're making mistakes, you're trying something new, which you've always got to try and do to innovate. Yeah.
Good. How can individuals build a sustainable wardrobe on a budget?
I think it goes back to buying less. I think simplicity is key. And I think we operate very much in the kind of, in the activewear and performance space. We try and, even though we do that, we try and make things that can go into everyday life. So we try and make kind of chino trousers, which are high performance, that someone can dress up with a shirt and a pair of shoes and wear to the office and or wear out for dinner. And it's this, as well as, you know, they can go for a hike in them, they could play golf in them, and they'd look great in all of those scenarios. Yeah, I'd say simplify, buy less, wear more, buy multifunctional pieces, and don't get hooked into this world of fast fashion where a Primark or a Shein or a Boohoo is very easy to just go, oh, I'll go and buy a new something now because it costs a tenner. A new t-shirt is £10. Great. And you wear it three times and it might fall apart, but you don't care because it was a tenner. Getting out of that is super important.
Excellent. Now it's time for the lightning questions. Are you up for some speedy Q&A?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's start. What's your favorite way to stay active?
I play a lot of golf and I play paddle tennis a lot. I love paddle tennis. It's okay. More recent addiction. In fact, I'm playing paddle tennis tonight. Great game. If you've not played it, try it.
Good, good. What is your biggest inspiration in the sustainable fashion industry?
I think Patagonia are inspirational. I think the founder of Patagonia built the company in a way, and it flows through everything that they do. So I think they're an inspiration in kind of the outdoor space that we'd quite like to create in the performance space. Yeah, Patagonia are fantastic.
What is the one thing you wish everyone knew about sustainability?
The amount of greenwashing that goes on and being able to see through that. Starting to happen. People are starting to see through greenwashing a bit more, but don't believe everything every brand tells you unless they're transparent about what they're telling you.
What book, movie, or documentary do you recommend for people interested in sustainability?
I think for me, I don't think there's any singular one kind of source or book which has been a singular piece of inspiration. It's more lived experiences through working and then followed by reading and trying to learn as much as possible from multiple sources. Although in a previous conversation that we've had, you recommended a great book called Scale and Speed, which I've since purchased. I purchased for members of our team. In fact, I bought three copies of it and we have a rota now who's going to read it, including myself. I need to start reading it, but I'm looking forward to reading that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. What's your favorite piece of Reflow activewear and why?
I love hoodies. They're super comfortable, super versatile. Wear them to and from the gym, wear them out and about, wear them on the golf course. They're great. Also love our polo shirts. And I'm always wearing a baseball cap, as probably my friends will attest to. I know you said one, but I was giving three. But yeah, baseball caps, love them.
What's your worst career advice you've ever gotten?
It's probably a controversial one. I think that you have to go to university. It was something that was drilled into me when I was growing up. And actually, I think I have learned more through the real world and lived experiences than I ever learned through study. And I think the perfect example of that is at university, my first 2 years at university, I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do or much drive really in academic world. I'm not the most academic person. And my third year, I went on a placement year, worked in the real world, worked in a marketing agency, loved it, I got it. I could put theory to the real world, and actually the real world made a lot more sense than the theory. And I went back to university to do my final year and managed to get a first class degree off the back of that 1 year in industry. So I think, university education isn't the be all and end all, even though I have a degree. I think I've learned far more outside of study and real world application.
Which leader that you admire the most?
This is a really tricky one. At the moment, I think the world lacks great leaders, and I don't want to get into a whole debate on this world of identity politics and fear mongering and everything that exists in between. I currently don't think there is a political, maybe world leader that I think I admire too. I would again go back to the Patagonia example of a business leader who never gave away the fundamentals of why he built the business and recently gave the whole business away, which I think is incredible. And I think that would probably be a great example of a leader, but probably not the type of leader you'd normally think of.
One piece of good advice for listeners on any topic.
I think going back to what I said before, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think mistakes are needed, and don't be afraid to try new things. And you can take that one step further. And actually a bit of a life motto is bad decisions make great stories. You learn so much through making, and when I say bad decisions, I don't mean actively go out and make bad decisions, but generally if you make a decision it turns out to be the wrong one, at least you'll have a good anecdote to be able to tell people about. For me, it's all entrenched in that same line of thinking.
Good. Can you recommend someone for us to talk to for our next podcast episode, knowing that we are just a few months old?
Absolutely. There's a great brand called New Water. The founder is a guy called Cyrus. And they're doing a great job at tackling plastic waste and the plastic waste problem through creating canned water. I love what they're doing. Cyrus is a great guy. Really interesting background. Worked for Apple for a long while. I think you'd have a really good podcast with him.
Excellent. Rory, thank you very much for your time. Speaking to you has been great. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thanks very much, Sid. I've really enjoyed it myself. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
I really enjoyed speaking to Rory, and I only spent 60 minutes with him, and I can only see that he's resolute to his vision and his goal of becoming the most sustainable clothing brand globally. That brings us to the end of today's episode of the Pre-Zero Sports Talk. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Rory McFadyen, co-founder of Reflow Sustainable Activewear. We covered much ground, from how Reflow got started to the production process, his explanation on Reflow's good greenwashing, their partnership with Eden Reforestation Project, the benefits of choosing sustainable activewear, and tips for leading a more eco-conscious lifestyle. We hope this episode has inspired you to think more deeply about your clothing choices and consider making more sustainable options into your wardrobe. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please download, subscribe, write a comment, or let us know what topic you would like us to cover in future episodes. Thanks for joining our show. Tune in next time for more open, straightforward, and exciting sports conversations. Have a nice day.